right, building blocks, you guys are dismissed. I do want to give a short exhortation this morning, especially in light of celebrating our graduates. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Esther. We're going to look at Esther chapter 4, just two verses, 13 and 14. Let's look at these two verses. Once again, Esther chapter 4, 13 through 14. This is the word of God. It says, "Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this.'" For such a time as this. I think the book of Esther is really fascinating. And I think many of us recognize the background to the book of Esther, right? So the Jewish people are living in exile in the kingdom of Persia. Esther, this Jewish woman who is an orphan, raised by her cousin Mordecai, eventually rises to the place of being the next queen of Persia. But then we also see this calamity that is about to come against the people of God. The enemy of God and his people rise up to conspire for their destruction. And so Mordecai, who is Esther's uncle, hears the news that there's roughly around 15 million Jewish people living all throughout the kingdom of Persia, and they're about to be wiped out. And so in verse 1, we hear this: "Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and he cries out with a loud and bitter cry." So this act of tearing one's clothes and pouring yourself with ashes, it really is a sign of intense grief and despair. That there is this situation that rises that is beyond anyone's control. And Mordecai is thinking, how in the world are we going to survive? And the reality is, especially for our graduates, that as you guys transition into whatever that next stage of life, whether it's college, medical school, work, and so forth, the reality is that there's going to be bumps along the way. That it's not always going to be smooth. At times, you're going to question, God, what are you doing? Because maybe the things that you're experiencing, the things that you're about to do, and you see how God is at work, it's going to completely make sense. And you're going to be like, that's exactly what God is doing. But in other seasons of our lives, we're going to question, God, what are you doing? How are you moving? But it's in these moments where we recognize that God is actually at work, that God is able to make a difference. And so word gets back to Esther about what's going on. Her cousin is at the gates mourning. And then we see this dialogue that goes back and forth. And so really the one encouragement that I want to give to not only our graduates, but to all of us this morning simply is this. Following Christ, it always involves risks. Regardless of whether we are in a season of transition, regardless of whether we are in a season of continuing on in our path, following Christ will always involve risks. Jesus himself lays it out very clearly, that if you follow him, it's not going to be smooth sailing, but it's actually going to be you denying yourself, picking up the cross, and following after Christ. Jesus makes it very clear from the beginning that following Christ is going to involve risk. But if you are willing to risk it for his sake, if you're willing to lay it all on the line for the sake of Christ, then what the Word of God promises is that God will always work in our lives in such a way that you will make a difference. That you and what you do and what God is calling you to do and the doors that he will open for you, that you will make a difference for the kingdom of God. And when I think about the story of Esther, that's what the story of Esther is. It's about Mordecai and Esther, these two individuals willing to risk, willing to stand for the things, the burdens that are on the heart of God. And because of this risk that they're willing to take, that God honors that risk, and these two individuals, that they are able to make a difference. Because the reality is that all of us, the reason why we're pursuing these things, whether it's the next degree, whether it's the next career, whether it's the next season, next opportunity, whatever it is, it's because we want to live our lives in such a way where we want to know that our lives count for something. Because if we don't have that hope, then there's really no reason to carry on. There's really no reason to continue, right? When we lose that sense of hope, life becomes really hard and difficult. We know, or we want to know, and we want to strive to know that our lives, that it counts for something. And God says that the only way that your life will count, not just for this life here on earth, but for all of eternity, is by you willing to embrace the risk of following Christ. So in the story, Esther has no idea of what's going on, and even the risk that Mordecai is taking to get her attention. Because she's isolated in the king's palace. And so Mordecai, after he comes before the Lord, after he cries and wails, and after he's in despair and he's seeking the heart of God, he says, I'm going to risk it to get Esther's attention, my cousin's attention, because he can't go in there. So it's Mordecai who's willing to take that risk. And then when Esther finally hears what's going on with her cousin, she begins to wrestle now with the decision of what is she going to do about the situation, the calamity that is about to come against the people of God. And here's what's at stake. First of all, the most obvious thing that's at stake is her life. In verse 11, she makes it very clear, because when Mordecai tells her cousin to go and to see the king, to see if your husband can do anything about it, this is what Esther says in verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner courts without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king for these 30 days. So she's saying, I can't just barge into the king's presence, because if he's not in the right mood, he might take my life. And so obviously her life is at risk, but not only her life is at risk, but her lifestyle, how she has lived up to this point, is at risk. Because up to this point, she's been enjoying all the privileges of living in the palace, of being provided, of being cared for. So if she makes this decision to identify herself as one of the Jews who is about to face persecution, then I'm sure she's thinking, how are the people around me? How are they going to view me? How is the king going to view me? Because he's already gotten rid of his first queen. And so who's to say that he's going to say, well, this is not worth it. And so he's going to get rid of Esther. Not only was her status quo at risk, but lastly, her sense of self was at risk. Because in essence, she's been living like a non-Jewish person in the palace, living like a Gentile. And so the book of Esther is really interesting, because even some of the morals of what is going on is very murky. Because here is this Jewish girl, and she is living in the palace, not according to her customs, maybe not even being able to worship God in the way that is required of her. And so listen to what one commentator writes. He says, because we are familiar with the end of the story, we are apt to see the answer to this question as obvious. Of course, why would Esther not be willing to take this risk? But he goes on, he said, would Esther be in such a position of royalty if God had not raised her up? But given the nature of Esther's rise to prominence through an ethnically doubtful marriage to a pagan, and the concealing of everything distinctly Jewish about her lifestyle for the past 5 or 6 years, the question is real. It is as if someone who has risen up the corporate ladder by shady manipulation of the books, along with neglecting his family and any connection with the church, were to be asked to stand up at a board meeting for his faith over a critical issue. His response might be, could God really use someone like me after everything I've done or failed to do? Right? The risks that Esther was asked to take, it's a real risk. And she was genuinely wrestling with this question of, after the ways that I've been living for the last 5, 6 years, can God really use me? Can I really make a difference? And to Esther's hesitation, listen to what Mordecai says once again in verse 14. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. But who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this. I think what Mordecai is reminding us is that even though when we think about everything that's going on in our lives, we think, okay, maybe it's just a random mixture of coincidences that happen to bring us to where we are. But Mordecai reminds us, no, God is faithful. Even when you don't necessarily see God in the midst of what you are experiencing, that God is faithful, that he is working behind the scenes, that nothing is outside of his sovereign purposes. That God has worked in such a way where even though maybe the circumstances were murky, even though morals were questionable at best, to bring Esther to this point in her life. I want you to remember that. The situations and the circumstances that God brings you through, that it's never coincidental, it's never accidental. It's never outside of God's sovereign purposes. That God has a purpose for us. And that purpose is to make a difference. That's why Jesus says that our identity is to be what? Salt and light. Salt makes a difference. I don't know if you've had steak where like you eat it and it's like, eh. So what do? You throw some salt on it, right? And that makes all the difference in the world. Or if you walked into a situation where it's dark and you can't really see your environment, so what do? You turn the light on because the light makes all the difference in the world. God has created you in such a way that you are called to make a difference. Now, how you make that difference, you might not understand it. Working 9 to 5 or studying a book and thinking about how is this making a difference? But that's where we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And even though maybe from our vantage point, we might be thinking, I don't know how this is making a difference. I'm sure as Esther was in her situation and circumstances, she was probably thinking, how is God going to use this brokenness around me to make a difference? But Mordecai reminds her that for such a time as this, that God has raised you up, that God has placed you where you are. But the only way that you will be able to make a difference is by you embracing that risk. Because the reality is that all of us are familiar with the concept of risk, right? Because we take calculated risks all the time. But now, Esther, she was being challenged to take that risk not for herself, but for the sake of others. And God's going to call you to risk, not for your own personal gain, but for his gain and for his glory. And so all throughout the history of God's people, we read over and over again how one person makes all the difference in the world. Right? Think about the story of David. when all the others in the armies of Israel were quivering in fear, that he was willing to stand. Or think about the story of Daniel, when he refused to bend on his firm conviction that God and God alone is worthy of worship. Or think about the story of Nehemiah, when he was willing to let God break his heart for the things that broke his heart, where he was willing to risk his position so that he can engage in the work that no one else wanted to do. Think about the story of Ruth, who was willing to forsake all that she knew so that she could follow the living God into a land where she knew she was going to be ostracized, labeled as a foreigner. But over and over again, the Word of God tells us that it's the people of God who is willing to embrace risk because they see the greatness of who God is. How through these individuals that God makes all the difference in the world. And sometimes you're going to be able to see the difference that God is able to make through your lives, and other times you're not. Other times you feel like you're just stuck in this wheel that's spinning over and over again, and you're thinking to yourself, how is God going to make a difference through what I am doing? But God in his word reminds us over and over again that even when we can't see it, he is at work and that he will make a difference. Dr. Charles Swindoll, I'm going to close with this quote. He says this, does one person make a difference? Let me ask, did Christ? God so loved the world that he did something. He didn't select a committee. He didn't theorize how great it would be for someone to come to our rescue. He didn't simply grieve over our waywardness and wring his hand in sorrow. He did something about it, and that's why we can be saved. We don't believe in a theory. We believe in the person of Christ who died and rose again, that we might live and make a difference. Right? When I think about that, that's so challenging, that our lives are supposed to be molded. It's supposed to reflect the example of the one that we are following. That God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that Christ, his death and his resurrection, one man's life, and made all the difference in the world. Because he was willing to risk embrace the risk that his Father has spoken into his life. So obviously, we're not talking about foolish risks, but we're talking about the risk of denying yourself, carrying the cross, and following after God, and letting God use us to be a testimony of his goodness and his faithfulness. Because that's the gospel message. Gospel message reminds us that into this world that was so broken, that God sent his one and only son. And he lived a life that you and I could never live. He died the death that you and I deserved to die. He rose again to give us this newness of life. And he says, follow me, follow my example. So I want you to remember that as God brings you into this next season of your lives, that following Jesus, it's going to involve being willing to take a risk of sharing your faith with those around you, recognizing that at times you might be rejected, of recognizing that certain opportunities, maybe financially it might make sense, but following Christ, it's not going to make sense. And so you're going to miss out on certain opportunities to advance your careers, to advance your own agenda. Maybe that risk is going to involve not only a cost to yourself, but cost to your loved ones. But the gospel promises that if you are willing to embrace this risk, not for your own sake, but for his sake. The gospel reminds us that God will work through you to make all the difference in the world. And we'll be praying that for you, that God will make all the difference in the world through your life, that God can make a difference through one person's life, because that's the life of Christ, and we're called to reflect that life in our own lives. All right, so let me go ahead and invite the graduates to come back up again. We want to spend some time praying for them. All right, so just with all arms, can I just invite you to go ahead and stretch out your arms towards all the graduates as we pray for them. First of all, let's just lift up prayers of thanksgiving on their behalf. Some of them we have known for a long time, and we're thankful for the ways that God has used them to impact every single one of our lives. And so let's lift up prayers of thanksgiving, and then as we do that, let's pray that as they move forward into this next season of their lives, that God will continue to remind them of the power of the gospel that is at work in their lives. Which means every single day that they have to be willing to embrace the risk of following Christ. But as they embrace that risk, that God will work so that through their lives, that they will make a difference in the kingdom of God. That they will make a difference in the lives of those that God will bring as they share the love of Christ, as share the hope of Christ. That God will use them to make a difference in the prospective fields that they're going to. That God will use them to make a difference in our society, in our church. So let's ask God to bless them, to seal his promises into their hearts. And this is just the beginning of their journey. And for those of us who have been on this journey for a bit, we know that there's going to be so many ups and downs. At times we're going to be so confident in the love of God, and other times we're going to be so uncertain. But through it all, we know that God will always remain steadfast. And so let's pray for that, for the steadfastness of God in their lives. And so once again, with your hands stretched out, maybe you can just pray loud enough so that you can hear yourself pray. But can we pray and lift up our graduates, and then after a little bit, I'll pray for them on our behalf. Okay, let's do that. Let's pray for our graduates together. Thank you. Father, we thank you so much for our graduates. God, we thank you in every single one of their lives that you have written a testimony. Testimony of who you are. Of your goodness, your faithfulness. Testimony of your grace. That while they were still far from you, that you came near. And that you are the one who sought after them. And you came to them and you rescued them and you loved them. And you restored them back to the Father. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll continue to not only remind them every single day of the work that you've done, but Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll point them to the work that you will continue to do. May you be that source of joy and strength in this next season that they're about to enter into. And every single day, may you invite them, God, to walk faithfully with you. And walking with you, that's going to entail risk. But as they embrace that calling, that process to become more like Christ, use them so that through their lives that you will work to make a difference. Make a difference, Lord, in the lives of those that you will bring near them. Make a difference, God, in the prospective fields that they will go into. Make a difference, God, in the church for your kingdom. God, I pray that you'll help them to dream big dreams beyond just their aspirations and their goals. So that through their lives that you will use them to make an impact for your kingdom. Just like Esther. Help them to have that sense of confidence on this road that they have walked on and the road that they will continue to walk on. God, that's not by some random coincidence. It's not by chance, but it's because you are sovereign and that you are at work, God, in their lives. And you're going to, God, give them opportunities to participate with you in the work that you are doing. And as they do that, God, I pray that you'll fill their hearts and their lives with such pleasure and joy. So, Father, I pray that you will bless them. Bless them, God, so that they will be a blessing to those around them. So we thank you and we praise you, God, for this time together. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we have a gift for you guys. It's my favorite thing in the world, which is books. All right, so David, here you go. And this is how to get ready for college. So there you go. All right, thank you guys. I know that we're supposed to transition into our end of the year video, but before we do that, can we sing one song together just to declare the faithfulness and the goodness of God? And yeah, you guys can go ahead and take a seat. And so let's sing one song together before we watch the end of the year video, okay? Stand with me as we worship and declare who God is.